Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Man, praise the Lord. Okay, let me, I don't even know where to have you turn in the Bible, because, for one thing, I forgot my Bible this morning. My wife brought it to me, but that wasn't the reason I don't. For what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about new beginnings. I want to talk about all of that. And a couple of scriptures that came to my mind, which are not necessary for you to turn to, because you probably know them, but in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And He was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And so, in both of those statements where He's talking about in the beginning, it's an interesting thing about human beings, and I think it's partly some of their culture and their religions and so forth, but almost every nation on the earth celebrates New Year's. They may not all celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is pretty much a American holiday and things of that nature. So as Americans and as Christians, we're in kind of an interesting position because we have new beginnings every year as Christians. And I know everybody kind of talks in those terms. You know, everybody, I was watching a little bit of the TV celebration in New York City, not very long, because it just drives me nuts. People, just nuts. Anyway, and one of the guys, they swung away over to Florida, and they're down there talking to the people, oh, Happy New Year. What's your New Year's resolution? And everybody has heard that. And everybody probably understands the meaning of that. The whole meaning of that is that we're looking forward in the coming year for some new thing to change in my life that I need changed, that needs to change. One of them was saying, I'm going to stop drinking. Another one said, I'm going to stop smoking. And so they were mentioning the things that were setting them back, they felt like. So it's a personal evaluation type of question. And I don't even know how useful it is. It's just kind of wishful thinking, I think, in a lot of respects, because a lot of resolutions are never even, after the party's over, the resolution is forgotten. You know what I'm talking about? And I find that very interesting. But it's not the same in a cultural or religious way, because the cultures are many times built around, and our philosophies and our ethics and our morals and our everything is built around the culture that has grown out of these traditions that have been given to men, and one that is common to almost every man is New Year's. Chinese get very elaborate about it. They write these whole charts that cover the whole year. This is the year of the donkey, or this is the year of the rat. Has anybody eaten Chinese food recently and had those placemats there with all of the rats and the donkeys and all of that, and this is the year of whatever? And it becomes a big celebration, almost an annual celebration. And we're not quite that dramatic or that lengthy about our celebration, but as a country, we celebrate it, and it becomes a party. And I think some of them probably shot their guns off and their fireworks next to my house and kept me awake and that kind of stuff. But and then they're too tired to make it to church the next day. But anyway, my point is that almost every country in the world, almost everybody celebrates New Year's. It becomes a focus because it represents something. And for Christians, it represents even more. And talking about beginnings, When we look back over our year, and we will address that a little bit this morning, but it's an interesting thing that Christians have a little bit different take on a new year. For us, it's directly linked to our salvation, and what I mean by that is, when we were born again, when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our lives were transformed, they were changed. And from that point on, you begin to walk and talk and act differently. Am I correct? I think my mic's moving on me. Get those glasses on. At any rate, and so we as Christians begin to look at the new year in kind of the way that Christ, I think, intends us to look at it, and that is that this is the new year set before us, and the hope that we have for this is going to translate into several things, and I want to talk about those things briefly if I can in just a moment. But interestingly enough, it's linked to our salvation in the sense that salvation was a new beginning for us. Your life began to change. Your thinking began to change. The dynamics and the structure of your family began to change. Not everybody changed in accordance, but your family structure began to change. Your goals for your family, all the things that you want to accomplish as a family or as the leader of the family individually or whatever, all of these things are tied to the same kind of concept our salvation is because we are people of hope. We're people who have a burning hope in our heart. Our hope, of course, is a higher, more lofty hope because we hope that we'll spend eternity with Christ, and we're assured of it because we've been born again. We know that. So God reassures us with all of that. But when we start talking new beginnings, and we're at the new beginning, we're actually on Sunday morning, the 1st of January, 2017, and it's a new beginning. We've already kind of talked about it. We've prayed about it, folks. We're talking about God doing greater things in this coming year. And I think God is a God of new beginnings and new progressions. I think what he started in 2016, he's going to complete in 2017, because what he starts there can't be completed in a year. So what he's going to continue in us is going to be good things. But he's also going to intensify things in this year because you and I are going to do something, and that is we're going to think more positively, we're going to speak more positively in our own lives, but we're going to begin believing for this coming year to be better than the last year. And I think it only is effective that way in Christian people because we talk about things other than material things. It may be more blessed for you materially. That'd be wonderful. Everybody fell down on the snow and landed right on top of a lottery ticket and they're all millionaires. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I don't believe God does that. But anyway, that just sounds real good and it's fun to think about all kinds of things. I'm not talking materialism at all. I'm talking about something that God is going to do dynamically in your life this coming year. Now, I know that all people... Am I messed up again? I love it. Uh-oh, something else. Hello. Power. You working better? Okay. No? Well, hang with it. You got what you got. Amen? So, where was I? Oh, let me start back here at the beginning. At any rate, I think what God has in store for us is going to be far greater, although I think some of it is a completion of what he's already begun in 2016. And so, I think one of the things that you and I have to realize about this new year, and specifically this day, is we're standing at a challenge point. We're standing at a place because we've come this far in human history, and I think we are here because of this particular time in which we're living. I think for just such a time, you're in this church. And I think because of your faith and my faith being combined, what we will see God do in our lives will be the kind of dynamic things, but also spectacular things that we can stand and address and say, look, this is where my life was. God challenged me at the beginning of this year, and I set forth in my heart and my faith and my trust in Christ that I would like to see these things come to pass in my life. And I want to encourage you by saying that, dream big. Shoot for the moon. Because God is going to do great things and has the capacity to do marvelous things that you could never imagine in your life. And I think it's time for Christian people, you and I especially, because we're here, that we begin to live like victorious, power-packed Christian people. Yes. Am I making sense now? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, don't get excited now. You're getting real crazy there on me. When you start running, then I'm going to really wonder what's going on. But I do believe that we're at that point. This is the day that we've chosen to celebrate the coming new year. Awesome stuff has happened. We want to acknowledge that. And a large part of retrospect is a part of the progress God wants to build into your life. I challenged myself a couple of years ago, and I've been working at it ever since, doing all kinds of things that I've never done before, to challenge myself because I wanted to enrich myself personally and do and experience some things that I had never experienced before to kind of build and invest in myself. because I determined before the Lord a couple of years ago, maybe even longer, I don't know, but I know a direct focus at least a couple of years ago, I wanted to finish my run with Christ well. I wanted to conclude my Christian run or walk or journey, however you want to describe it. I wanted to end in such a way that was greatly honoring to Christ, greatly honoring to my family and my church family, and greatly honoring to myself. I wanted to live in such a way that brought glory to God, blessings to my church family and my family, and that in my own personal walk, I can leave this world, and I don't know when that will be, maybe 20 years, I don't know. But when I leave this planet, I want to have made an impression on Christ. I don't care about the rest of the world. I mean, I do, but not like I do for Christ. That when I walk out off this planet, that I will be able in my heart to say, I have fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith, and I know that there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me, and I know all of that. And so I want to live up to that standard. And so from the last couple of New Year's, I have personally not made resolutions. Resolutions are just statements of hope and whatever, but probably never come to pass because you never really get serious about, oh, you might get serious about, hey, I want to do this, and you might be serious for a short amount of time, but resolutions are just that. But when you make a commitment the way Christ expects you to make a commitment and that you should expect of yourself is that I want to end up better for Christ than when I began. I want to make enough of an imprint on this planet for Christ that I bring honor to Him. Is that making any sense? And so I wanted to talk about challenge points. We're at a point, every one of us, not just as a church, we're there as a church. We have many challenges ahead of us, and we have succeeded in a lot of the previous challenges. I could spend a lot of time telling you all the things that God has done, and this church has been highly successful in accomplishing, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of this church for all the great things that they have stood for and accomplished. But in retrospect, as we look back over the last year, every one of us is going to measure our successes. How have I been successful in this? And you may not even do that consciously. You may not be like me, trying to be consciously making efforts to improve myself personally and to experience things that I never experienced, because there's so much out there in the world to experience that most of us never really get to go experience it. I heard a guy make a statement last night on television. He's talking about, I forget what all he's talking about, but he was talking about he'd been to Europe and all over the place. And he said, people go to these other places and these wonderful old shrines and ancient ruins and all that kind of stuff, and just to see the beauty of it and experience. And that's a very valid thing. But he was making the statement, right here in America, we have some of the most beautiful country in the world, most beautiful areas on the planet are in America. And I kind of said to myself, I've experienced some of those, but I'd like to experience more, from the rest of my life. I want to experience some of those things. I don't know if I'll ever make it to Europe or back to the homeland, which is Ireland for me, but I don't know if I'll ever experience all those things, but I have a goal to do that. I have a desire. I have a hope to do a lot of things, and part of that takes retrospect. When I look at my life, and especially as a Christian, my first review is, how have I been as a Christian? How has my walk in 2016 been for the Lord Jesus Christ? And as I look back over it, I see some errors that I've made as a Christian. I think decisions I've made as a leader of this church and all kinds of things. And so when I look back on retrospect, I can say, yeah, there's some things that I wish I would have done better or done differently. And most of you probably never even consciously go through this process I'm taking you through this morning, but some of you do. And some of you are at a place where you're evaluating the past year and things didn't go so good here and they went great here. I'm not looking for a balancing out of the bad and the good. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a conquering of the good in my life so that there's very little error and more glory for the glory of God. Amen? And greater investment for me as a person. Because here's the thing. Jesus Christ acknowledged this. You're the first person that you think about. And you're going to take care of yourself, even to the detriment of other people, even though when you're in love with your wife and you're going to do all the things you can. You cannot meet your wife's complete needs because there's a spiritual element there that only God can complete. And so there's going to be a lacking, but what I want to do is be better this next year as a husband so that my wife can achieve better and greater things for herself, so that her challenge is easier. I want to join with her. But I also realize that we need Jesus Christ every day of our lives to be successful as a husband or as a father or as a pastor or as anything else. And so there's got to be some retrospect. You've got to look back and see some of the things that you did well and some of the things you did not do well. And one of the great things about being a Christian that is not available to anybody else, being a Christian gives you the opportunity to get everything right. So last night when you were shooting off your shotguns and letting off firecrackers and stuff, you should have been getting it right so that today you stand here as a brand new creature to start a brand new year. Amen? Does that make sense? And so I think God is addressing those things, and he's giving us this point, this moment, this day as a challenge point. What are you going to do with this year that God is giving you? In 2017, gosh, I got to stop using glasses. Let me do it this way. What is God challenging you to do? And what is your own personal life and desires? You see, God is not an anti-fun God, not an anti-self, actuating God. He wants you to become the best you can be. He wants you to enjoy the fruit of your relationship with him. He wants you to be impacted, not only with who he is and what he's done for you salvation-wise, but he wants you to have an abundant life. Now, I'm not telling you everybody's going to be rich here this next year. What I'm telling you is not material at all. I'm telling you spiritually, personally, socially, God is wanting you to be the best you can possibly be. Why? Because you are a great witness to the rest of the world. That's part of it. But the other thing is, you begin to live more successfully. You outbalance the scale to the good. We're all going to make mistakes. Just get that through your head. God knows we're going to make mistakes. But God offers a new beginning, a new challenge point. From this point on, what are you going to do for your own personal life, for your social life, and your spiritual life? What are you going to do? How are you going to invest in those areas of your life? Because those are the three areas that will bring the most amount of improvement and challenge in your life and success in your life. If you value yourself, you'll do things good for yourself. Now, there are a lot of people who do not value themselves. Let's be honest. There was a time in my life I did not value myself. And so I would head long into anything that brought any kind of satisfaction or, upbeatness in my life or whatever. I don't even know if that's a word, but you can use it and quote me. And so there was a time when there was no goals and there was no focus. And it wasn't that I didn't have the intelligence to do that. I had the great scores in school. I was in a pilot program from Yale University and introducing algebra and geometry and calculus and so forth, as you progress through school. I was one of them in the pilot class. But they chose these kids because they had an aptitude. I didn't know what aptitude meant. I didn't even know I had a brain. But these concepts were easy for me. And so I went through that whole pilot, all the way through my junior year in that pilot program. And so I had the goods here, but I didn't have the goods here. I could do and I could achieve and I could accomplish, but it didn't give me any great satisfaction. And so as I grew older, especially after I became a Christian, I realized, hey, wait a minute. God expects me to be something of excellence for him. Now, have I been the best at that? No. And I think that's why God wants us to have challenge points. And the first of the year is the best challenge point for us because we all recognize there's a brand new year coming. And so the first of the year is the perfect time to talk about what am I going to do to improve my personal life? Nobody else involved, just me. What am I going to do to improve my personal life? What is it that I want my life to be like? What is a goal in my life that I want to achieve and accomplish in myself? Get a two-year degree at Zillow Academy. Whatever your goal, I don't know what it might be, but whatever thing that you have in mind that will improve you as a person. See, the biggest problem people have, Christians and non-Christians alike, they become routine. They accept the mundane, the mediocre, they accept the routine as it is presented to them and do very little to improve or change those processes. We become accustomed to it. We fall into the habit of it, and we don't want to change it because we have become comfortable where we're at. And I think God doesn't want you to be comfortable where you're at. I think He wants you to be constantly improving yourself. It isn't that you have to go to college for another 10 years or set some other kind of business goal or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal improvement, where your thinking is more on the lines of the way God thinks and Jesus thinks, because the way Jesus thinks is always on the positive. I defy you to find one time, I'll take that back. There were a few times He got upset with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but very seldom did Jesus speak negatively. If He used a negative statement, He followed it with the answer in a positive way. You follow what I'm saying? And so when Jesus sets that kind of an example, that's a personal improvement. He's not only sharing His convictions that He's learned from experience, but He's also applying those to other people to improve them and to help them. So that means then that we should also consider our social life. The people I hang out with, the people I interact with, their goals, what we want for ourselves as a group or as a church or as a culture or as a society of America. We need to think in terms of not only ourselves, get ourselves improved and get ourselves walking right, but we also need to be helping our social life to be that positive kind of an influence. And so personally, socially, I mean, socially is kind of like, see, I'm really working on that one. I'm really working on that one. Because there are things that happen between here and Yakima that really, really needs me to start dealing in a positive way with my social life right there. And fortunately, I don't pack my weapon all the time, so I don't get road rage and start shooting people off the road. But the desire has come upon me like an evil spirit, just overwhelmed me. And most of you know that I've dreamed of my old Dodge just putting a big steel cow catcher thing on the front of my car, and when people whip out and do 25 miles an hour when I'm doing 50, I won't even slow down. You know, if you have that cow catcher, it just kind of knocks the cow off the track. So there'll be a lot of cars in the ditch on my way. That's just a dream I have. I don't know if I'll ever achieve that. I doubt if that's one of God's challenge points for me. The challenge point in that area would be to be merciful and kind and forgiving and understanding that, I, for the grace of God, would have done it myself. And then what God did was point out, when I pulled out in front of somebody, oh, by the way, isn't this just what you talk about in Buena? And so I bowed my head in shame, and I burned candles to the Lord and asked Him to forgive me. And we're still working that out because the candles are still burning and about halfway down. But that's just a facetious thing that I use to illustrate that I have bad feelings too. In fact, I'll just give, can I be just honest with you? I know you don't think of me as lying to you, but I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, last week, we had a wonderful service Sunday night, Christmas celebration. And so I thought it was awesome. But can I be honest with you? Long about 4 o'clock, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to come to church. Now, let me ask you, those of you did come, did you not also have that? Or am I the only one that had that? I'm thinking, oh, man, I'd rather stay here and eat turkey for the rest of the day and all that kind of stuff and cranberry sauce and just smear it all over me because I like it so much. And I just said, not get off the couch. And I don't know if it was my wife or the Holy Spirit reminding me, but you're the pastor, you've got to go. And so I came, but there was this, and I'm just being honest with you, there's this reluctance to really want to go, you know, because, it's an evening service. Most of the people have traditions with their family that night, and they're not going to make it, and I understand that. That's all good. And I'm telling myself all the reasons I should not go to church on Sunday night. And then when we got here, the service started, and we had worship, and then we had a few videos I threw at you, and the Trago sang and gave you a little word, and the Holy Spirit showed up. See, I didn't count on that. I wanted God to know my grievance. Lord, this is uncomfortable for me. I'd rather be eating turkey right now. This is uncomfortable. This is just going to put me out of my comfort zone here, but I'm going to go because I'm a faithful pastor, Christian guy. So I'm going to go do it. And you probably never thought pastors had thoughts like that, but I have them occasionally, every Sunday. I don't want to go. It's warm in this bed. I don't want to get up. And when we got here, have you ever had this happen to you? You don't want to go, you don't want to go, but when you get there, you just get blessed, like blessed. My wife and I seriously have been talking and praising God for last Sunday night service and everybody that participated, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful service. And God just drove one of those self-improvement lessons right into my heart. That you should go anticipating, wherever you go, go anticipating the Holy Spirit to be before you and to be there working before you get there. And you will never be disappointed. The Holy Spirit will do something wonderful. And so that's kind of the social thing. And the spiritual thing, what am I going to do in a spiritual realm? And instantly you begin to think, I'm thinking for you and putting this out here, not to put words in your mouth necessarily, but you and I, when we start thinking spiritual things, okay, does that mean I have to pray more time, put more time in prayer? Does that mean I have to read my Bible more? See, we use those things as a measure of spirituality. Amen? And they are. And God expects you to commune with Him in prayer and in Bible study and in fellowship in the house of God. Church, if for no other reason, church is excellent as a support group. When you're going through bad things, you're going through hard things, there are people here who've been through it, and they'll pray with you. You follow what I'm saying? That's why church is good. And if things are going great, we celebrate it, man. Awesome, they got a house finally in the neighborhood. And there goes the neighborhood. But anyway. I shouldn't have said that again. But what am I going to do spiritually? Well, stop talking like that. There's one. But it's not all just the regimen. What Christians fail to see, and oftentimes just everybody, fail to see that structure is good. You follow what I'm saying? Not structure to the point that it becomes a bondage. See, that's where the Pharisees went wrong. They had the truth. They knew about God. He was their God, and they worked miracles and did all kinds of stuff. But they had structured their lives so much that they really didn't love what they were doing. They didn't love God, and they didn't love each other, and they didn't love the structure that they were in. But structure is a healthy thing. It's a good thing if it is not a bonding thing or a bondage type thing. And so what am I going to do spiritually? Yeah, I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to do more fasting, and I'm going to do more Bible study than I do. And I read Bible every day. And all those things are good spiritual things, but what are some of the spiritual things that I can improve in my life that will bring honor to Christ, blessing to Christ, and even bring benefit and blessing into my life because I'm doing what God wants me to do? And so the other thing is that we always feel, and this is the one we always feel the worst about, is that we don't go out on the street corner and tell everybody about Christ every Saturday or Friday or whatever. And that's all good. That's not a problem. But that is not the final definition of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is when you and God connect and communicate and fellowship, and it affects your life. It affects your spiritual walk. Let me tell you what, there have been dynamic challenge points in my spiritual walk that have been great. One of the great experiences I had is when I was called to preach, and I've shared that so many times it's probably ad nauseum, but there was another time. I was at Bible college, and it was like lunchtime, and I was out on the courtyard, and I was reading the Bible at lunch, and you may not describe it the way I'm going to describe it. While I was reading the Word, isn't it reading in Romans, in fact, as I was reading the Bible, God came and sat down beside me. I couldn't prove that. Couldn't prove it with an ounce. But while I was sitting there, I felt His presence. And that presence was affecting me. I felt that presence and I acknowledged it. Man, that's got to be You, Lord. I sense Your presence. But as I was continuing to read the Word of God, I understood in a way the Bible like I had never been understood. It started to gel. He began to inspire me with things about the book of Romans. He was talking about salvation. It's the best book to read if you want to know what the plan of salvation is all about. But I'm reading that, and it is just like going from here to here to here, like a flood. I'm just drinking it in. And that whole lunch period time that I was there, God and I got spiritual. Was there a challenge point? Yes. I wanted to go back to that place again and again and again. And so I'm thinking that if this year is going to be the challenge point for us, then we need to get very serious about outlining what we want to do for our lives. Most of us are never organized enough to do that. I'm not. I oftentimes, every day, I set down a schedule and then I go out to achieve that, but every day is a challenge to get done what you wrote on the paper. But without structuring our lives, without looking where we want to be at this very time next year, what do I want God to do? What do I want to have happen in my life? What do I want to have happen in my church and with me socially amongst God's people? I'm assuming that you hang with Christian people and others as well. Yeah, and can I ask you something? This is the way I'm going to be spiritual, and you're not going to think this is spiritual at all. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not confessing a sin or anything, but I'm going to tell you something. And you're not going to think this is spiritual, but I do a lot of business with Western materials. And generally, you do that much volume of business with somebody, they'll give you a gift or something for Christmas. You know, I've got things like barbecue things, Western materials on the side, I can't remember all, lunch boxes, all kinds of things, attaché cases and things like that they give you. This year, I went in to purchase some things, and the lady at the desk there, some of you might know her or not, but anyway, comes up and gives me the gift that Western Materials gave me this year, because I had done such a volume of sheetrock with them. And I was at a challenge point. What do I do? Because they handed me a very nice box of Royal Crown. Anybody might know what Royal Crown is? Bourbon whiskey, whatever. And they gave it to me. And I'm sitting there and I'm in a dilemma. Do I just go, what is the matter with you people? I'm a preacher. I don't drink. Do I do that? Or do I graciously accept that gift and thank them for the gesture of giving me that? And I know you're all wondering, well, what'd you do with the whiskey? I know what you're thinking. Well, that's why I had a hard time getting Jolene up this morning. She celebrated a bit much last night. That's not my point. Of course, I'm not going to drink it. I'll get rid of it. But my point is, am I going to be spiritual here? Or am I going to hurt their feelings and lose an opportunity to continue to be a witness in their lives? You see, I value sharing Christ above all things. I mean, as far as the ministry is concerned. I've done business with these people 30 years, maybe more than that. And I've been a Christian all that time, and I've acted like Christ. I've been accused of things that I've not done. But most of the people that are there know me. They know that I do what I say I'm going to do. You guys got a minute? One time when I was first started doing business with Western Materials, because I used to stock my own sheetrock. I had a big flatbed I borrowed from a contractor, and I'd stock all my sheetrock myself. Saved me the cost of stocking and all that. And so they started offering stocking. That's what I mean by that, is placing the sheetrock in the house and for the rockers to hang on it. And so it was about this time of year, actually just before Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so you might relate with this. And so in the construction business, you do a lot of work, but you don't always get paid as soon as the job is done. Usually most businesses will pay on the, you know, the by the 10th on the next month, or depending on when the bill came in. So you've got accounts receivable. Does anybody know what business is about? You got accounts receivable, but you don't have the money. It's got it coming, but you don't have it. You can actually go to the bank and borrow on your accounts receivable. But so I've got this accounts receivable. I don't remember how much work it was. But the owner of Western Materials called me in and said, hey, I've got to have the title to your truck, which is laughable. It's laughable because I had like an 85 Chevy or GMC truck. It wasn't worth $5, you know what I'm saying? I'm driving every day, and it's probably worth maybe $1,500, $2,000, and my bill to them is like $15,000, and he wants the title to my truck. And my first reaction, here, I'll tell you, tell me if this isn't like most of you would react. I was insulted because I'd always paid his bill, and if I was late, I always paid his finance fee. And so when old men have to sit for a second. And so he told me, I got to have the title of the truck. I said, well, it's not worth anything. Well, I'll give you the title of the truck, but I'll tell you what else. I said, it's obvious that you don't trust me, and you're afraid that I'm going to burn you for your money. So I said, I'll tell you what, when I get this bill paid, because I have the money owed, I have that much owed to it. When I get this paid, because you don't trust me, we don't have a trust relationship, I'm going to start doing business with somebody else. And I did that exact thing. It took me into January. Because see, general contractors want to have Christmas too. So they use your money to have Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Because they're waiting on the guys to pay their draw off of their house. That's the way a business works. You're getting an education in economics as well. And so I did. It took me like the middle of January to pay it off. And so we're square. I'm back to stocking by myself or hiring another company to do it and all that. And so about 8 months later, their sheetrock representative comes on a job looking for me and asks me to come back to work with him. And I told him the story. I said, I can't do business with a guy that doesn't trust me. I do everything that I promise to pay, and I pay. And pay your penalty if I'm late. Because draws aren't coming in fast. And I can't do business that way. We would never have. He would always be wanting my title to my truck or something to guarantee when I have been paying my bills all along. So I was insulted, and I responded to that. And so the guy said, hey, listen, don't listen to Stan. He's just the owner. Listen to me. I said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. I'll go with you again. And I've had a relationship with those people from that point on, and they have been very good to me, and I have been very straightforward, and I've paid my bills every month, and I'm going to tell you what that has created, and you need to understand this. It's a very spiritual thing. You need to understand this. That man trusts me now, because I stood for the principles that I work and live by. I try to be honest with everybody. Have I always been? I think I have. Somebody may, you know, write in with some letter and say, oh, yeah, you're a bum on this, whatever. But I've been honest and forthright with everybody that I know of. Anyway, I believe that I could go into Stan's office and ask him for $1,000 and the man would dig it out of his wallet or whatever and give it to me because I've built that kind of a relationship with him. And I say that only because I know what kind of relationships you have with people. And it is very spiritual to be honest with people. It's very spiritual to be good with other people. It's very spiritual to be forgiving and gracious and to even make personal sacrifices. And I'm going to be honest with you. Something else is spiritual. You may not believe this. I learned this from Dana, what's his name, Wisecracker? I learned this from him. And this stuff may be boring you, but I don't care. I learned that if you forgive people, I've already known this, but I've seen an example in his life, and it kind of reinforces that message. If you're good to other people when they're bad to you, God will bless you. God will anoint your life. God will do things in your life. It's when you hold the grudge and you want to get back at and you want to make that person pay for the hurt they brought into your life or the disrespect or whatever. that's when you have trouble. Because God does not bless ungodly action. Hello? So it's very spiritual how you have relations in business, with friends, neighbors, next door. By the way, when your neighbor's sick, it is a very spiritual thing for you to mow his lawn. Am I making any sense here this morning? And so I think we're at a challenge point today. In fact, what I think God is going to encourage us to do, and I'm going to close with this because I want us to have communion. If you purposely look for the opportunities to be Jesus to someone else, Jesus will be Jesus to someone else. Making sense? And one of the greatest thrills you're going to find out in your life, and I'm learning it, and I'm intensifying it, and I'm learning it again and again and again. You do good to other people, God will do good to you. He will never forsake you. He'll never not provide for you. He'll provide for you. He'll bless you. He'll do spiritual things in your life. He'll do all of that if you be good to other people, because you're His hands. You're His mouth. And so it's a very spiritual thing to do good for other people. You need to read a book. What's his name? The Blessed Life? What's his name? Morris. Is that what you said? Yeah, she's smarter than I am. Morris. He's a pastor of a big church. Robert Morris. Thank you. He's a pastor, and you need to listen to his testimonies. Because if you want to know this challenge that God sets before you, He sets them before you every day. Every day. Sometimes you succeed and do it. And sometimes you don't even know it's there and you blow by it. But if you consciously structure your life to do good to other people, blessings will flow that you can't contain. This guy has given away cars. And he can't keep giving them away because every time he gives them away, God gives him more to give away. I know that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just telling you, this guy gives away cars to people. One time he had an offering, and he was hurting for money. And he got the offering because he'd preached there. And God told him to give the offering to a missionary. And so he got caught. Maybe you've seen the story, the testimony. He went to dinner with the pastor and everybody, and then another minister was on the other side of him, and he said, "How much money did you get in the offering?" Pretty rude question, wouldn't you think? Well, he had already given it away. It was like $1,500 or something like that. He'd already given it to this missionary. And so he said, I made some money. And he said, "Let me see the check." And he said, "Well, I got to go talk to my wife. She's at the other end of the table." He goes down there and talks to her. "How's the food, dear? Is it pretty good?" Then he comes back there and tells him, and this preacher lied. You know, he said, I forget how he lied to him. He told him, my wife has it, or something like that. I forget how he brushed it off. And the guy said, "You gave that money away, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, I have to apologize for lying to you. I did. I gave it away. God told me to give it away." He reaches across the table and gives him a check for like 3 or 4 times what that money was. Now, you're not going to believe this. I know you don't believe this, but I'm telling you this is the truth. And this is no prosperity message, give to God to get something back. This, I don't believe in that. I believe I give to God, and I don't care if He gives it back or not. But listen to me. If your life is generous and you do spiritual things, I read my Bible, I pray, I fast, I do the spiritual things. I go to church every Sunday, even when I don't want to. But I go, and God blesses me for that. But I've had magnificent things happen to me by giving money away, giving other things away to other people. Did you know Robert Morris gives houses away to people now? Well, now, if he wouldn't have given a little bit of money to people, that missionary, God would not have blessed him 4 times. And if he wouldn't have given that car away, he wouldn't have 5 more cars in his driveway to give away. You follow what I'm saying? And if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have the houses to give away to people. What's that saying? When you do spiritual things, your life is structured to do spiritual things. And one of the highest spiritual things you can do, of course, is worship Christ. One of the highest spiritual things you can do is give yourself away to other people. and you do good for other people, look out. He may be giving you such good things that you have to keep giving them away because you got no room in your garage. Amen? So, the challenge point is this. God is challenging you this morning to structure this next year. Doesn't matter how you structured it in the past, but this next year, you need to structure something for yourself to enrich yourself. Me, I'm looking to go to a symphony I'm even willing to go to an opera. Whatever. To experience something that I've never experienced. Do something for yourself. Commit your structure to something for yourselves. Second of all, socially, learn how to use the right fork, will you? It's the farthest one to the... Well, I take that back. If you have cocktails, shrimp cocktails, then it's the farthest. It's a little funny one. Looks like a trident. And then the next one, fork, is for your salad, okay? And then the next one for when you're cutting that big old hog or whatever it is you're going to eat. Learn some of that stuff. And then share that with other people. So your social life is being enhanced and you're growing socially. And then spiritually, connect your spiritual growth with the structure of doing good for other people. This next year will be the best year you've ever had. I guarantee you, God will do things in your life you can't imagine and will sustain you and do great things for you. Trust me, it's an absolute truth. Amen?
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.